Hello, and welcome to the Talking Logistics Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Benora, Director of Client Services for PLG Consulting. Today's podcast is focused on hydrogen, a promising renewable fuel. Stay tuned for fresh insights surrounding the emerging supply chain for green hydrogen. Hydrogen is a renewable fuel with a promising future. Hydrogen can be produced from either carbon-based energy or renewable sources like wind and solar. When used in fuel cell vehicles, hydrogen's exhaust is pure water vapor. The Department of Energy estimates that hydrogen could provide 10 to 15% of the total U.S. energy by 2050. However, significant supply chain challenges must be overcome for hydrogen to reach its full potential. Today's guest is PLG Consulting's Green Hydrogen Advisor, Taylor Robinson. Taylor brings over 30 years of transformational leadership and supply chain expertise in wind turbine, renewable natural gas, renewable diesel, and green hydrogen to our clients. He has led strategic sourcing, supply chain, and logistics for Honda, Honeywell, and Heinz, as well as Northern Power Systems. Welcome, Taylor.
Thanks, Chris. I'm really looking forward to our discussion today.
The excitement for the use of hydrogen as a clean energy source for many applications seems to have taken off in the last year. Is all the media hype warranted?
It's kind of yes and no. There was already a growing interest in hydrogen for new applications from some new market entrants and energy companies in the past couple of years. Hydrogen's always been used in large volume for industrial and petrochemical applications. And these new applications were really driven by some progressive companies that wanted to decarbonize. So the IRA really gives a big kickstart to the cost competitiveness of clean hydrogen, and it's over the next 10 years. Cost was the major factor holding people back from trying larger opportunities beyond these trials. So the Inflation Reduction Act that was signed in August is a big deal for hydrogen. That being said, you are seeing applications mentioned in the press and opportunities that probably will never happen. Hydrogen has some really niche opportunities, I think, for large growth, but it's not the Swiss Army knife that some people are hoping it will be.
And when you say it's not the Swiss Army knife, it tends to have applications on a large industrial scale, ship propulsion and other applications for high horsepower, correct?
Yeah, and there are some of those applications that are being tried out in large volume. It's just a matter of time to see whether they will work out or not. But there are a number of applications, as you can imagine, that can replace diesel. It can replace natural gas, a lot of carbon-producing fuels.
Can you simply explain the most important things we need to know about the colors of hydrogen?
Yes, there are a multitude of colors that people have invented for different feedstocks and different amounts of carbon coming in. But the three main ones that you need to really keep in mind for most of the applications is first, gray hydrogen, which is well over 90% of the current hydrogen is gray in the United States. It's made mostly from natural gas with steam methane reforming. And there's three large industrial gas companies that make a great majority of that. And that's a known supply chain now. This is the highest carbon content process. As you can imagine, when you're burning natural gas, there's carbon involved. The blue hydrogen utilizes carbon capture technology to that steam methane reforming process to capture, hold, and sequester the carbon dioxide underground. Right now, there's a few small applications that are starting. The technology is evolving quickly, and there's expected to be large growth of blue hydrogen over the next 5 years. And then finally, green hydrogen, which is where PLG really has some great expertise. That is made by electrolysis. It takes water and splits it into hydrogen and oxygen. This method, if paired with green energy coming in, such as hydro, wind, or solar, actually has extremely low carbon content. And then as it's utilized, in it has just water as the outtake of it. So green hydrogen is potential green the whole way through. And the electrolysis method is growing quickly. And there are new technologies to lower the cost. And these incentives are going to help. So the cost competitiveness is really going to be growing in the next 5 years, which is going to spur more and more growth.
Is there a connection between green hydrogen, green ammonia, and e-methanol?
Great question, Chris. Just think of green hydrogen as a potential feedstock for those other products in addition to other direct applications. Green or blue hydrogen can be a clean source of hydrogen and then add in nitrogen to produce what's called green ammonia. And ammonia is a fertilizer, and down the road, it could be a fuel source for ships. E-methanol or green methanol is another product that can utilize green hydrogen as a feedstock. You mix in carbon dioxide to make this e-methanol, and it's also another potential source to power ships or cement plants, steel mills. So there's a lot of optimism that these are going to be also big products. And again, they'll be driving the demand for green and blue hydrogen.
What impact do you foresee, Taylor, from the federal government's recent incentives and promotion of the use of green hydrogen?
There's been two large incentive packages the federal government has passed in the past year and a half. In November of 2021, with the Build Back Better Act, there were $7 billion set aside for 6 to 10 hydrogen hubs across the U.S. And this will support some large-scale hydrogen growth probably in the five-year time frame, because it's going to take a number of years first to get the funding decided, where is it going to go in the U.S., and then also the infrastructure build-out will take time. The second one and bigger impact, I believe, for hydrogen is the Inflation Reduction Act, or IRA, that was signed last August. And these incentives are really twofold. They're first incentivizing wind and solar, which are the main feedstocks for hydrogen electrolysis. And they're giving up to 30% tax credits for those projects, which lower the cost of hydrogen. And as well, direct production tax credits for up to $3 a kilogram of hydrogen based on the carbon content of the process, that is going to really help the cost competitiveness of hydrogen.
Where are we most likely to see green hydrogen being used in the short term?
Right now, one of the current applications that I think is going to grow quickly is in the material handling equipment. They utilize fuel cells. Those applications are growing pretty quickly. Transportation fuel, I think, is not going to be fast, but any application in the large truck or vessel industry is going to drive a lot of growth. So those are things that people are really focused on growing in the short term. It's also going to quickly displace gray hydrogen in some industrial and petrochemical applications as those folks try to decarbonize quickly. And then the other sector, I think, is remote and backup power, where they will be mixing in 10 to 20% hydrogen to offset natural gas usage.
And what about the longer term?
Well, as these short-term sectors I mentioned continue to expand, those are going to drive large volume growth. Additional applications might be places like cement and steel plants that we mentioned earlier, as well as natural gas becoming more of a power source mixed into larger applications. I don't think it will compete with battery electric vehicles in the near future for automobiles.
The supply chain for green hydrogen will need to expand rapidly to enable the forecasted growth. What do you believe are the biggest challenges throughout the supply chain?
Yeah, it is a pretty much a brand new supply chain. And as you build new supply chains, there's growing pains. I'm going to highlight five of them, but there are more. So lots of challenges, which means lots of opportunities. First, as you look at the supply chain, renewable energy is the feedstock, and it really can't grow fast enough because of things like permitting issues take long time in those projects. There's not a lot of land availability near population centers, and there's competition from power generation projects that want that renewable energy. So there's going to be not enough renewable energy for growth. Secondly, the energy storage technology and production capability will take time so that renewables can be behind the meter solution. That means going directly to the green hydrogen plant due to the timing of wind and solar power generation. Thirdly, there's a limited supply base and production capability for electrolysis equipment, liquefaction equipment, even in the transportation. The trailers are very low volume right now, and that market's going to need to grow at a very rapid rate. So the supply chain for equipment is going to be a challenge. The next area is the storage infrastructure for hydrogen. Most of the time, it's going to be liquefied so that it can be transported. And that storage is very expensive, and it's required at the hydrogen plant as well as the customer's distribution points. So that infrastructure is going to take time to build out and be very costly. And then finally, the truck transportation of liquid hydrogen is in a cryogenic form, which is very hazardous as well as very expensive.
What role will green hydrogen play in helping the world meet its carbon reduction goals?
Yeah, I believe green hydrogen is one of many things that need to be done. And it's unclear how much of that equation is going to be green hydrogen, but obviously there's going to be some niche applications that are hard to decarbonize that will get the most benefit.
It's been great having you on our program today, Taylor.
I really enjoyed it and look forward to helping our clients out in this new world.
Our guest today for Talking Logistics has been Taylor Robinson, PLG Project Manager and Green Hydrogen Advisor. Visit plgconsulting.com to download Taylor's latest thought leadership on this topic entitled The Evolving Business Case for Green Hydrogen in the U.S. Thank you.